This is Doctoring Up Design, a lively, interactive, and educational series presented by Design Hardware and either held in their amazing, incredible showroom on 3rd Street in Los Angeles or at design events from across the globe, of which this is one, and you can hear all about that in a minute. But Doctoring Up Design was created to address your pain points in the constantly changing world of design and architecture. Doctoring Up Design features the most knowledgeable and creative designers, architects, manufacturers, and product designers in the business today to help you build a healthy and strong design practice. So we went to KBIS. We were live there this year, KBIS and the International Builders Show. I had a chance to sit with some amazing creatives who were talking about all of it. And I wanted to share some of these conversations with you. In this episode, you are going to hear from John Shalhoney, Roz Murphy, Roman Reiterer, and Alicia Chung. You'll hear from each of them and their stories right after this. Design Hardware is your one-stop design resource for stunning hardware, flooring, and unique brands that allow designers to stand out and create incredible projects, like those from Valcromat, panel made of wood fibers that are colored in the production process. The colorant are chemically bound to one another in a special resin, which gives the end product a deep, rich color matched with custom textures and added dimension. This high density product is moisture resistant, high density, higher strength, simple to work with, and yields extraordinary results. Design Hardware is where you will find brands blazing new trails like Valcromat. For more information about Valcromat by Investwood and other extraordinary companies changing the look and feel of luxury design, visit designhardware.com or on the socials at Design Hardware and Flooring. I was trying to figure out when the last time you and I spoke.
It was actually July of 2022.
Okay.
Time flies.
It's funny because for me, it's in two parts. It's one is when we talk. The second is when the episode is published.
Yes.
Right? But it's nice to see you in person because when I saw you last time, it was virtual. It was via Zoom.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, it's so funny. And I wanted to ask you this. Like, for you, being with clients virtually versus in person, how is the experience different for you?
I personally prefer in person. I think the energy and the communication is so much better. I think that it feels a little bit less stilted, and you really are able to develop a better relationship in person. And luckily, almost all of my clients are in town. I have potentially one out of town job, but they actually come to Dallas all the time, so I get to see them.
So I lived in Dallas for 9 years. I love Dallas. Tell me how, but that was a while ago. How has Dallas changed as a design city?
I definitely feel that contemporary design is still at play, but most of the people that I know that are doing new construction, depending on the neighborhood, are doing classic style homes. And I would say 90% of my clients have more of a classic transitional style.
That's interesting because, you know, and Dallas is an interesting city to me. And being from LA, you mentioned you come to LA, you have family there, so you come to Los Angeles, so you've been there. LA and North Texas, Dallas in particular, very, very similar. You've got LA, you've got Dallas. You've got Orange County, you've got Fort Worth. There's a different vibe between LA and Orange County. There's a way different vibe between Dallas and Fort Worth.
Absolutely.
Or if you're from Fort Worth, Fort Worth, Dallas.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
I learned that when I moved there. Yes. They're not the same.
They're not.
But equally great.
You're either from Dallas, Fort Worth, or you're from Fort Worth, Dallas, based on where you live, which side of Arlington you live on.
Yes.
And the vibe is different, and the feel is different. But one of the things that I love about Dallas is you've got the Nasher, you've got arts, you've got, you know, world-class sports, you've got the Speedway outside of Fort Worth, which brings in, you know, a ton of new business and different people. Anyway, it's vibrant and it's different, and the amount of people that are moving into the Metroplex is just staggering. How has that affected the business, and how has that affected your design?
I would say that it's affected sort of everyone's business from the residential real estate market because during COVID we had a lot of people from California move to Dallas. I actually had some clients that bought one of my other clients' home that moved from California. And what's interesting is that they think that Dallas is such a bargain compared to California. And a lot of times the projects are a lot easier to pitch because our costs are so much lower.
It's interesting too. I first moved to Dallas in 95. And people from Texas were saying the exact same thing about California that they're saying now. And by the way, let's not forget that Texans are the ones that started this whole thing by moving to Denver. So the people in Colorado were saying the same thing about Texans that Texans have said about Californians moving in and taking everything over.
And I have to say, I did the same thing. My husband and I moved to Denver from Dallas in 2002 and lived there for 3 years. And I don't know if they love the Texans so much.
They don't. But here's what's interesting, too. When people from one geographic location move to another geographic location, they bring with them different ideas. Some of them are terrible. You know, and in addition to the ideas, the crowding and the traffic and the costs and the inflation, just the real estate inflation of pricing is really hard, especially for locals. At the same time, it builds community and it brings in an influx of new ideas. And I see that in Dallas. When it comes to resources as a designer, tell me about the design community because it's close, it's close-knit. You seem to really like each other.
I think that it's definitely a collaborative environment. And I think that there are so many amazing resources that are so close together. I have to say, it's working in the design center. My office is right near all of the showrooms, and it just makes it sort of fun to bop around and visit all the showrooms. I take my clients on field trips, and we go from one place to the other. But I do feel like there's a diversity in the aesthetic for sure with designers, but I think for the most part, it's very collaborative.
When you come to a show like this, how do you navigate it? What are you looking for? What are you looking for here? And what have you seen that you're absolutely crushing on?
So I come to this show because I do a lot of new construction, custom homes, and I feel that I always want to be able to see the latest and greatest when it comes to plumbing, tile, countertops, appliances, and I feel like I'm able to hyper-focus, where when I'm at home, I go to the same showrooms that only have a very small amount of each product line to be offered. So I think that this show is huge. I've never been to the Vegas show. I did go to the Orlando show last year, which is very easy. And I'm finding it a little difficult to navigate. I should have brought some breadcrumbs to find my way back to the shuttle.
The one thing is your choice of footwear is spectacular. Very smart. Are those comfortable?
They're really comfortable. My gold sneakers. I love a pump. I normally am rocking a pump, but I just was going to be hobbling if I did that. So
yeah, absolutely. But back to the original idea. So what have you seen that you're crushing on, and how do you navigate this, and what are you looking for?
I'm really looking for in-person touch and feel products with the plumbing. There are a few projects where I've specified faucets, but they can't see them in person, and I'm really wanting to take video, etc. I think Kohler did an amazing job with their vignettes, especially collaborating with Ann Sachs to create those really luxurious bathrooms, and it was very playful. I was sort of crushing on the colorful commodes. There is a lineup of commodes, pink, yellow, blue, lavender, my favorite color. I mean, I might have to switch out my toilets and go right back to the 60s.
60s in look, but not in performance.
Correct. Let's hope.
Which is great.
Yes.
Which is really great. It's interesting, too, because Texas doesn't have the same restrictions. You talk about toilets, and it's really interesting because in California, you know, for a long time, and it's unfortunate that this happens, but because of the rules and regulations and
yes,
the low flow, so people would do a project, get it signed off on, and then drive to Arizona or Nevada to go pick up their new toilets and bring them back to California. T- Texas, you don't really have to do that. But I am curious, is there, even though you don't have to, is there a feel for sustainable design? Is there, and that's the interesting part of this, is like, in California, you have to have it because you have to have it. But in Texas, you don't have to have it. But is it still relevant?
I think that it's still relevant, and people are really becoming aware of the different sustainable options out there. I can't say that my clients are obsessed with sustainability, but I think slowly but surely we'll get there.
I love that. I am so thrilled that we were able to sit down and reconnect. Roz, thank you for doing this.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Hey, you too. That was Roz Murphy. This is John Shalhoney. And I know your partner. I have spoken with him. Last time Tom and I spoke was 2019. Got a chance to see your work and see what you guys do, and it's amazing. And
thank you.
Tell me the story. How'd you wind up working with Tom? How'd you wind up working at the firm? How'd you wind up in the biz?
I always like to say when I talk about working with Tom that I pitched my caboose to the right train. I worked for myself for a number of years in Florida, and I'm trained as an interior designer. I have a design degree, but I wanted to move to Chicago and sort of found Tom by accident, or he found me by accident. He found my resume on the ASID, American Society of Interior Designers, national website. And they called and said, you know, we saw your resume. Are you looking for a job? I interviewed and moved to Chicago. It meant giving up my own firm, but it meant joining a much bigger firm. And Tom and I have very similar aesthetic styles and business preferences. And so it was great. We were able to align our workflow, and I joined the company in 2007.
Tell me about the state of design right now. Let me preface it with this. So we're at KBiz and IBS. By the way, when you come here, is this KBiz or is it IBS?
For me, this is KBiz. However, yeah. I sort of find the most candy at this side of the show because there's just so many fun things that aren't normally in my wheelhouse of materiality. But it is really KBiz for me. And I like this show. I don't come every year, but I do find it really enjoyable. And when I was telling my team about it yesterday during a staff meeting, a lot of them didn't really know what KBiz and IBS is. And so I'm telling them how sort of fun this can be, even though it's a lot of walking and a lot of seeing. So you have to sort of distill it. But I think if we're talking about the state of design, I mean, it's evident that everyone's really excited to be back out in the marketplace because there's a lot of people here, and maybe more than I've seen even pre-pandemic. So I think that says something like huge demand. People want to be out. Networking is key in our business. There's so many positive things that come with the show that aren't about the products themselves. So I think that's exciting. And design is, you know, ever changing.
And interesting too, you know, I was at Market. Before, did you come for Market at all?
Las Vegas Market?
Yeah.
I did not, but okay. I was here for the summer market.
Okay. So really interesting because it was crowded.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of people here. And for everyone who's saying, I think you kind of have to, everyone's got an opinion. And sometimes based on how many followers you have on social media, your opinion seems to matter more, which is completely ridiculous in certain things. And when it comes to how the business is doing, state of the business, state of design, are we entering a recession? Possibly. What does that mean? I think if you look at the foot traffic here and you see everyone that's looking for product and everyone's here looking to see what's new, this is pretty cool.
Agree totally. There's, you know, a different opinion about everything that's going to happen with the economy and whatnot, but there's a certain amount of work that's always going to happen. When housing new starts aren't strong, renovation is strong. And so there's a flip side to sort of every coin. And even during the pandemic, when we were all very scared when it first happened as to what was going to occur, we weren't, you know, in our offices and whatnot. The world sort of turned upside down for us because we were busier than ever and trying to figure out how to work effectively while not really being allowed to be in our offices.
So here's my question for you. How do you work a show like this? And it's an important question. It's an interesting question too, because you go and I look around and I see what I like. And you can't do that. You cannot do this show in one day. It's not possible.
It is not possible, for sure.
Do you plan?
I do plan. I have a list of what I'm to see while I'm here, of things I'm interested in seeing. I always visit the big players in my world who I'm interested in doing business with. Kohler, Delta, Brizo, Cosentino. I see them because I want to see them. I want to see their principles. It's maybe not about seeing new product there because I would see it anyway. My favorite part of the shows, though, are the little vendors who have like the 10 by 10 booths in the back where you find new product that hasn't yet emerged, whether it's a new idea that we haven't seen or a better version of some other idea. And you know it's going to be gobbled up by someone else eventually. But I love seeing that early on. And I've always enjoyed that about trade shows. Even like at High Point Market, I sometimes like the temporary booths more than the big booths. So again, at our firm size, a lot of vendors come to us. We're very lucky. They come all the time to show new products. So if I didn't come here, I would probably know that Cosentino has 12 new products, or Kohler has a, you know, a new faucet line or a new digital technology related to their steam showers. But I would learn that anyway. But the little stuff is sort of interesting to me. And I sort of like leave here with this great joy of like, oh my gosh, there's this cool new TV lift that, you know, does everything and the wires don't get tangled. And that's what excites me about this business.
And that's the part too, that you can't get this from a sample. You know, you can come here, you can see everything working in a real world scenario, which is great. At the same time, if you think you can just show up to this and do it, you can't.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Tom and I frequently will go to High Point for one day and we run in and run out, and we don't go to our regulars. We'll go to look at new things just to see what the quality is. But this show is different. I think you can't just be here for a day. In fact, I'm not sure you can do the whole show in a full 3 or 4 days. You do have to pick. I tend to walk up and down the aisles and then you get distracted and you run into people you know. But I do make a plan in advance. I know which booths I'm going to. I'm also here on behalf of the American Society of Interior Designers, because I'm involved in their leadership group, and so we're seeing some vendors who are supporters of the society as well, so we have some appointments while we're here for that too.
I'm glad you brought that up. ASID fell on some hard years for a little bit of time, and I think it's because, honestly, you know what I think? I think the reason is because in 08-09, you had all of these new creatives come into design. They came from other places. They were real estate agents. They were food servers. They were students. They were mortgage brokers. They came from other industries that were displaced by the recession. They come into design and they're like, oh, I can do that. I can do that. No problem. Right? And they came in a different way. They came in as decorators.
Sure.
And maybe many didn't get certified as interior designers. They came in as decorators. And then they hung a shingle. Social media, some popped, but because of that, they didn't get certified, they didn't get licensed, they didn't join ASID. And I think that, I don't know, I could be totally wrong, but is there any validity to that idea? And then the idea now is ASID seems to be coming around saying, hey, you know what, our local chapters need more support. The national arm is starting to say, hey, you know what, we need to do more to support the trade. And I love that. Does that sound about right?
I think you're spot on, honestly. So full disclosure, I am the chair-elect of ASID nationally. I'll take my role as chair in October of 2023. So I have a little bit of an insider knowledge or understanding of this. But I think you're right. And when we had our last recession, there were a lot of people that joined the industry that did not necessarily come from a design background. The thing about this business is there's a place for everyone, whether you are licensed, trained or not, and there's many successful designers who have no degree. However, the idea of ASID is that we advocate on behalf of interior designers across the United States for the protection of the right to practice, for advocacy of design in general, education for designers, so it's for everyone. And most everyone can be a member. You may not be a full member, you might be an allied member, for example, but there's a place for everyone. And again, the idea is we are a trade association, essentially, for our profession that supports interior design. So just like you might be a doctor and you join the American Medical Association, as a designer or a decorator, you should join the American Society of Interior Designers. It's the same idea.
It is. So, okay, clarify this for me. So do you have to, you don't have to be licensed to be a member of ASID?
to have the full appellation behind your name of ASID, you need to have passed the NCIDQ exam.
That's what I thought. Okay.
But there are plenty of ways to participate as a member, allied member, associate member, industry partner member, where you do not need that full credentialing to be a member and participate.
I view this, tell me if I'm wrong, John, but I view this as a way for you to give back. You don't have to do this.
I don't have to do it. You're right. So 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago, I joined ASID as a student member. There were about probably 15 or 20 people, professionals I met at that time, who became mentors to me, were extremely encouraging. I didn't know what it looked like physically to be an interior designer, so I latched on to a couple who I could sort of see myself portraying. They did different things in their careers, but I wanted to be them, and so they're still my idols and mentors today, the same people. I'm doing it because they gave their time to me then, and I want to give my time back to someone now. And I think if I could let someone have just 1% of the benefit I've achieved through participation in these kinds of organizations, then lots of people can be successful doing this.
And by the way, I think it's an important time to bring this up as well, because you know we're entering another phase, and I've talked about this a great deal. For those who are listening to the podcast who have heard me talk about this before, you can hit the skip 10 seconds ahead button so you don't have, but we're entering another disruptor phase, right, where everything has been disrupted, and now people who have lost their jobs, people who have been at home and not working, or people who don't want to go into an office anymore and want to do something different are changing careers. This is how it happens. In 10 or 15 years, we will be talking about many of the designers who enter the trade right now, right? So it's important because we're entering that right now. What do you see for you, for the firm? How's the business changed for you? How is the business of design? How is design itself? You know, now secondary kitchens are just the thing. Sculleries, butler's pantries. There is so much more. You mentioned steam showers. You know, I work closely with the folks at Thermosol, and it's just amazing what you can do now. What's changing for you? What are you seeing?
Well, personally, in terms of just workflow, I manage a lot more projects. It just in general, more management than actual design. I like that in a way, but the industry itself and the profession of interior design has changed so much just recently. Technology is a huge part of what we do now, so like every single piece of something that goes into a home has technology behind it. It's better designed, it's better engineered, it's more durable, it's eco-friendly, it's healthier, whatever what you're looking for. Everything has that now, which is great. Products perform better. I think in terms of, you know, design trends, the idea of wellness, I do mostly residential interior design. We do some commercial work and some hospitality, but the idea of wellness is huge. And so we should not be doing anything that negatively affects a client's health. So even if we stay sort of zero in terms of we didn't do anything to increase, we certainly shouldn't be doing anything that decreases. So let's not spec products that are going to off-gas negatively or, you know, perform poorly, decompose too quickly. That's a no-brainer to me. But we have a responsibility to do something more. So for me, you know, the idea that what we do every day makes a client's life better, they sleep better because of the mattress we selected or the window treatments or the mechanical systems or the air is cleaner, they have better social interaction with their families. I always tease a big, you know, a former Fortune CEO 10 client of mine, like, hey, your stock went up because of me, because I made you sleep better and your wife is happier and everything about your stock increase is about what we did for you. And he always like giggles, and then I go, no, I'm not kidding. So like, really, I want like part of that action here. So we laugh about that, but I think we have a responsibility to do the right thing and make everyone's lives better.
That is so funny and so amazing and so true.
Very true.
And you know, I think, look, I got into the business, I say this all the time, I'm not a designer, I'm not an architect, but I do play one on a podcast, and I love the business. And that's why, you know, I do what I do, because I think it is so important, and the value that designers bring, and everything that we're talking about now, like the whole idea of home has changed. And it's funny, you say you do the project management side. I think it's got to be still fun for you to get back into it and do the design, correct?
It's my favorite part. And during the pandemic, when the teams weren't in our office, I did a lot more actual interior design. I'm doing the selections and the design process. And honestly, it gives me the greatest joy as to, you know, my everyday life. So I would do it every single day, all day long, and maybe leave the management to someone else. But, you know, part of what I do every day is make sure the clients are happy and the projects are moving forward at the right pace and that we're going to deliver on time and on budget, which is the hallmark of our firm's success. At Tom Stringer Design Partners, that's what we're known for. We're very good at engineering how to back out of a project, and if a client buys a house in February and they want to be in it in July in Nantucket, we can figure out what we can do to get them in. Even in this day and time, we're very good at that.
And the other reason why, one of the things that I think is so amazing, and what, you know, with design right now, you know, here at KBiz, you also realize too that, I don't know, I want your opinion on this. I feel like we are moving more towards a European sense of design. In that, you know, it's funny because everything has always moved towards the American way of doing things when it comes to the creative arts like design. But now this idea of a kitchen where, you know, in Europe, in many cases, you have a kitchen, you sell your home. The kitchen, like the sofa, it comes with you.
Right.
And we've never really grasped onto that concept, but I think we're getting closer. And there are ideas like that, and that's why you have a designer. You know, it's not that they can specify the most beautiful sofa for you, but it's the materials and the off-gassing and the where it comes from, the sourcing, the specification. Can it be delivered? You know, and now it's other things too. Like, if you love this kitchen, guess what? You may have it three homes from now. Yeah?
I think that will come eventually. Funny enough, like 20-something years ago, I was in a particular real estate market, and I looked at a house, and there were no appliances with the house. And they're like, well, in this market, people take their appliances, right? And so that happens in certain areas. Some houses sell with appliances, whether they're built in or they're just sitting there. But in other markets, they take them forward. I am very familiar with the whole concept of the European kitchen and things moving forward with you. I love when houses have, or residences have, a sense of place, and many of our clients have more than one home, so I'm conscious of designing something that gives them a sense of place when they're in that home so that not everything's the same. The one thing about the European aesthetic, because there's a certain amount of modernity to it, that seems to be timeless and can sort of fit into any situation, I think that's regal in a way. But on the opposite hand, like taking a Christopher Peacock white, you know, painted kitchen and putting it into a modern house when the client decides they do modern kitchens, by the way, so I'm not throwing them under the bus, but, you know, moving that forward kind of thing, it doesn't make sense. But the idea of modular kitchens that can be moved, it's very appealing, and I sort of think it's cool. And kitchens don't have to be that big then either, which is sort of interesting in terms of the downsizing of residential work.
Okay, so I'll get a little silly for a minute as I wrap this up, but you mentioned Christopher, and I love Chris. Christopher's amazing. And
it's still like the hallmark of good kitchen, right? People
yeah.
All reference it.
Yeah, but no, I'm
it's
talking
like
about
Kleenex.
Yeah, no, totally. But I'm talking about him.
Yeah, of
like
course.
I just spoke to him. I had him on about a month ago, and we were talking about music because he's a drummer. And what do you do when you're not designing?
Oh God. My husband would say, I only work 24 hours a day, by the way.
That's tragic.
But I like it because I'm very passionate about what I do. So I spend a lot of time looking through art and auction catalogs because I'm passionate about art and collecting even when I can't afford it, like I'm dreaming. So I like that process. We love to go to museums. Much like Tom, we love to travel. So while we may not do as many international trips a year as Tom does, for example, we are constantly on the road, and anywhere we are, whether it's a new town 30 miles from us or somewhere across, you know, the world, we're always looking to explore something new. And it's inspiring to me to come back with ideas, whether it's about texture or color or even how they do things. I like to bring that forward to our work.
That was John Shalone. This is Roman Reiterer. Tell me about the firm. How'd you get started?
Wow, that's a long story. But in short, I originally moved here from Austria, from Vienna, Austria. That's now about 27 years ago. And I graduated from UCL Interior Architecture. And within about 5 years, I started my own company in 2003. And while I was working doing residential design, I met Christopher Fallhammer, who is now one of the partners of BSBK Design. And we met about, this is now what, 16, 17 years ago. He worked with me and but then pursued working with Frank Gehry and other very nice offices in Los Angeles. And once he was finally done working, being enslaved for 80, 100 hour weeks, it was kind of like the natural next, you know, transition of combining our forces, and he's bringing in the very worldly architectural side. I bring the interior design side and more the client relationships. And so in January 1st, 2018, we founded BSBK Design. And the principles of our company were really based on creating modern, timeless architecture. With that one spin that we are starting from the heart and soul of our clients. So what that means is, of course, every client identifies and specifies the emotion of home differently. And so what we are doing is we're trying to get that emotion out and then put it into an actual tangible architectural design that has only is based on principles of modern architecture and not on trends. So that's one of the things that we really kind of almost putting a blind eye to. But we are here at KBIS because there are enormous amount of new innovations, and there's a difference between a trend and an innovation. And an innovation for us is that probably will stand the test of times much more easy than a trend. And that's what we are looking for, is finding what's new in the market and what will sustain those, that test of time.
I think it's interesting too, because, you know, the idea of trend has developed this negative connotation to it. And I would say it's not that it's a trend, it's when a trend becomes trendy. Mm-hmm. When something is trendy, you know, that's the death of it.
Sure.
You know, a trend is not a bad thing. Like, for example,
true, a trend can be a movement, and a movement is important, especially, you know, during testing times as we are facing right now, and looking at sustainability, looking at the impact that we leave as a species, 100%. So I totally agree with you on that.
I think that the idea, though, is really interesting, because, you know, that's what we're here doing. You know, you're seeing what trends are starting to develop. Colors on appliances. You know, sure, you've had colors on appliances for a long time, but appliances got away because of Avocado and Harvest Gold led the appliance manufacturers to get away from putting colors on appliances. Then everything was just stainless. You know, then stainless black white.
Right.
Then stainless black white, now black stainless, and then it's like, hey, wait a minute. This year I'm seeing color. I'm seeing color on appliances, and that's amazing. And that's amazing, and I love seeing that. That's a trend that I think will last. And I think because it adds a new opportunity.
Right. I mean, we are going through phases, right?
Yeah.
So we had, you know, I'm luckily or fortunately or unfortunately, I've been so long in the business that, you know, I remember the 80s very well. And I remember the early 90s very well from a professional standpoint. And there was a lot of color. And then it was the trend to the more muted and the more natural. And now we're seeing again the pendulum swing.
So what are you seeing? What are some things that you're seeing right now that you're like, this is amazing, I love this, I'm either going to incorporate it or I am incorporating it in my projects and it's here to stay?
Well, so it's very interesting because I always, we differentiate very much, especially when it comes to color and accent, what is attached to the house and what is not. And in general, our architecture is much more a neutral canvas that can then go through the timely needs of changing colors. Meaning is that with art, with accessories, with furniture, with more elements like that. So in our firm, we are probably would hesitate to put you a bright red kitchen into the house. But listen, if it's a mid-century and someone wants to create a 1950s diner and so on, why not? But it always, we're always looking at from the historical context. You know, we do not want to defer away from that.
And I love that. And for anyone who's interested in the work that Roman and his firm does, check the show notes. There will be a link to their website so you can go see the projects that they've completed and the work they do. Roman, thank you.
Thank you so much, Josh. It was a pleasure.
That was Roman Reiterer. This is Alicia Chung. And you were saying that this is your first time at KBIS.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Observations? Day one?
I mean, it's a lot. I've been to a lot of shows, but this one at the convention center is just sprawling. And the fact that it's also combined with two other shows, and it's Las Vegas Market, and I believe there's a fifth show I'm not even naming right now.
I think it's Surfaces, and then there's a tile, floor and tile show.
Hardware.
And, oh. Yeah, there's a lot going on. And by the way, So this is your first one. How many halls have you been to yet so far?
Like three in searching for the correct halls.
Bananas. Yeah, it's bananas. This show is just mammoth. It's a monster. Observation so far. So what have you seen anything that you're just crushing on that you absolutely love?
One thing that we saw that was brand new to me is at Infinity Drains.
Mm-hmm.
And right next to them is a new brand out of Germany. I'm not remembering the name right now, but what they had was an infinity drain that was vertical.
Come again?
So, you know how you get that like strip infinity long drain that you can put the
got it.
But it's on the wall.
Yeah.
Still, obviously, at the corner of where the floor meets, it's vertical.
Yeah.
And then... So that was really cool. And I asked them like, oh, I've never seen this. And they said, oh, well, it's new for us and we're new to the US. So I was like, that's great. And then we went next door to Infinity Drains and they have one that's like basically invisible except for the size of like a credit card is a little tile in drain. I was like,
amazing, right?
That's a great design.
So,
yeah.
So hang on, as a designer, what does that do to the manner in which you think about your project?
Well, for me, it made me question, like, wait, are our partners coming to these shows? Because otherwise, how are we learning about things like that, like products like that? So it's either, you know, relying on our showrooms and our sales folks or our builders or architect partners to bring it to a project that we're working on. Because otherwise, what we know is, oh, I would love a tile and drain or, you know, a round or square drain centered in the shower. So
that's just so historical.
It's crazy. So I'm glad that we're here. We can see things kind of firsthand and not rely on secondhand information or kind of in passing from our partners. Because somebody's going to these shows. Like, might as well be us.
Yeah. So tell me about the business. Tell me about how'd you get started?
My business partner, Ava Bradley, and I met at Ken Folk. And, you know, we didn't ever really work together, but we had come in around the same time, so we were friendly.
Designer or intern?
By that time, I'm a little older than her. So I was a designer. She was an intern. That's when we met.
Okay.
And then after a few, you just kind of build on the relationship.
Yeah.
And then in 2015, we left and started Studio Haimon. So it's been a while. And we now have a team of 12. And we do mostly high-end residential. So it's nice to see at this show, the doors and windows, for instance, the various appliances that we're not necessarily seeing in the showrooms yet.
What are the must-haves for high-end residential right now?
Say that again.
What are the must-haves for high-end residential in your mind?
I think some of the markers of when you see a very thoughtfully done home is really in all the design transitions and the details of the building. For sure, the windows and doors make a big difference. And that's something that very early on is like one of the first things you're deciding. And then, honestly, the difference between, high-end residential is that you're able to spend the time to be thoughtful. So you can consider like 20 different options or talk about, more customized things that really is relaying what the clients do best like desires for their space. It's just more time spent, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't really clarify the question much at all, too. I think that, what's happening right now is the idea behind multiple kitchens, sure, but the indoor kitchen and the outdoor kitchen have to be more functional and higher, more performative than they have been in the past. Mm-hmm. The things that you can do in a luxury bathroom that you couldn't do 5-10 years ago,
right.
the things that you can do in a kitchen, the furnishings, the ideas behind the thought, the philosophy of the design, that's the stuff that I absolutely love. And it's interesting because different designers have different philosophies about what should be, what defines luxury today. Mm-hmm. I feel like hospitality is always kind of at the forefront of it. They think about it, they try to make it work, but it doesn't necessarily because the rooms aren't, a hotel room isn't the same as a residential room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you can get ideas from it. So that being said, what are some things, what are some ideas that you incorporate into quote unquote high-end residential now? What must be there for you?
Really engaging all the senses, absolutely. We have clients that kind of naturally are drawn to biophilic attributes of design that, we didn't really know what the word was for it when we did that project like 6 years ago. And now we do, and I'm like, oh, this is exactly what the essence of this entire project that sits on this beautiful lagoon in Belvedere is. It's the epitome of the client, why she chose this place. It's reflected in the scented candle that we pick for them at the end of the project. It's reflected in all the textures that we incorporate in, the various ways that your feet feel sensation versus your hands and your body when you're sitting. It's all different. And so, again, I think it's time is the luxury. With that project, we were able to spend a lot of time because that client was like, I want to get it right. She wants to get it right. She doesn't care that it's, 10 rounds of talking about it.
Yeah.
3 rounds of talking about it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I love that. And if you're listening and you want to go see Alicia's work through the firm, check the show notes. There will be a link to their website. And this is great. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much.
This has been another episode of Doctoring Up Design featuring an incredible group discussing just some of the things that make our industry so incredibly special. Thank you, Roz, John, Roman, and Alicia. This podcast is presented by Design Hardware. Thank you, Michelle Solomons and Avi Balsam with Design Hardware for making this platform available and for your tireless support of the design and architecture communities. Thank you for listening and subscribing to Doctoring Up Design. Please make sure you are subscribing to the show so you don't miss a single episode. You can find all of the links in the show notes. Thanks for listening. See you next time.